Praised be Jesus and Mary. St. Peter Chrysologus was born around the year 380 in Imola, which today is a city in Italy, but then it was part of the Roman Empire, which had by that time become largely Christian. He was a child when Christianity went from being a permissible religion to being the official religion of the empire. This was done by Theodosius I, who became emperor around the same time our saint was born. In 392, he outlawed paganism. Before this, after trying and failing to reconcile the Arian heretics with the Catholics, he recognized only the Catholic form of Christianity and confiscated Arian places of worship. Their heresy denied Christ was consubstantial with the Father. They said that the Son was inferior and not really God like the Father is. Despite this suppression, belief in the heresy lingered, and St. Peter Chrysologus had to combat it in his sermons. Interestingly, he argues the divinity of Christ from the virgin birth. He said in one sermon, "It is a characteristic of divinity to have left the virgin intact after birth. It is a characteristic of divinity to have come out of the tomb with his body." So both the virgin birth and the resurrection from the closed tomb show the divinity of Christ. But it was later that he said this, when he was a bishop. Let us first hear what he says about that bishop of Imola who formed him in his youth. Cornelius was renowned for his life of blessed memory, illustrious everywhere through all his titles to virtues, known to all men because of his great achievements, and he was a father to me. He begot me through the gospel. Devout himself, he devoutly nourished me. Holy himself, he trained me in the holy service. As a bishop, he brought me to the sacred altar and consecrated me. Imola is about 30 miles east of Ravenna, where St. Peter Chrysologus became bishop. Ravenna was where the imperial court moved in 405 from Milan. Barbarian invasions were threatening and would indeed come, and Ravenna was a natural fortress. Built on sandy mounds that formed the ancient shoreline, it was isolated from the mainland by marshes. Augustus, the first Roman emperor, had built a naval base there to defend the Adriatic and eastern Mediterranean. Thus, it was there that Galla Placidia reigned. She was the daughter of Theodosius I, the emperor who made Christianity the state religion. She was a decade younger than our saint. In 425, her son was crowned Emperor Valentinian III. But since he was only 6 at the time, she ruled as regent for the next 12 years. She was an aristocratic woman with an iron will. Though capable of scheming and calculating, she was an uncompromising Catholic. Around 426, St. Peter was consecrated Bishop of Ravenna by Pope St. Celestine I. He gave his first sermon as bishop in the presence of Galla Placidia in the imperial court. In it, he said, she followed and imitated the Blessed Church in her faith, her works of mercy, her holiness, and in her reverence for the Trinity. They seem to have gotten along well. Both were zealous for the Catholic faith. Despite the presence of the imperial court, Ravenna, however, remained ecclesiastically just another diocese. But that changed sometime before 431. By then, St. Peter had become a metropolitan with the right to consecrate bishops in his territory. This was done by decrees from the Pope and the Empress, and St. Peter alludes to someone who was not happy about this, possibly the Bishop of Milan who lost the territory. In the summer of 431, the Ecumenical Council of Ephesus condemned the heresy of Nestorius, which saw in Christ two subjects, or two persons, which would mean that Mary was not the mother of God, but only the mother of a man. St. Peter Chrysologus was not one of the few Western bishops who attended the council, but he condemned the heresy in his sermons. Not everyone accepted the teaching of the Council of Ephesus, leading to a split in the church. And one of those who rejected it was Theodoret of Syre. He was what was called a moderate Nestorian or a verbal Nestorian. Although he really agreed with the Catholic teaching, if you look carefully at what he was saying, He vigorously rejected the formulas of the council that expressed those facts. Seeking support for his position, he wrote to Western bishops, including those of Milan, Aquileia, and Ravenna, but he would get no backing against the council from St. Peter. In 437, Valentinian came of age, 18, and Galla Placidia ceased to be regent. She remained politically powerful, but now dedicated herself with zeal to worship, building or restoring many churches. The churches of Ravenna are famous still today for their mosaics. In the mid-440s, St. Germanus of Auxerre visited Ravenna. He met with the bishop and the empress and eventually died in the city. They divided his relics. Galla Placidia got the container that held his remains, while St. Peter Chrysologus got the saint's cloak and hair shirt. In 445, Eutyches, the elderly abbot of a large monastery near Constantinople, began asserting the opposite error from Nestorius. Instead of two persons and one and two natures, he said Christ was one person with one nature, for his humanity had been absorbed by his divinity. Because of this, he denied Christ's humanity, or because this teaching denied Christ's humanity, he was accused and condemned in November 448 by a small local council at Constantinople. But that wasn't definitive. He had many friends, and he also wrote letters around the empire seeking support. In February 449, he wrote to Pope St. Leo the Great, and about the same time he must have written to St. Peter Chrysologus, because we have St. Peter's letter in reply. He's sympathetic to what Eutyches says that he suffered, but the letter didn't really give him enough information about the case to make a judgment. He writes, "If, as you write, you are displeased that a hearing had not been given you, how shall we be able to pass judgment about these men," his opponents? "Because of their absence, we do not see them. Because of their silence, we do not know that what their view of the case was." Near the end of the letter, he says, "We give you this exhortation in regard to everything, honorable brother. Obediently heed those matters which the blessed Pope of the city of Rome has written, because blessed Peter, who lives and presides in his own see, proffers the truth of faith to those who seek it." This is a clear testimony to the Pope's doctrinal authority. In June of that year, St. Leo wrote to St. Flavian, the bishop of Constantinople, condemning the heresy of Eutyches and teaching the Catholic faith on this point with great clarity. 2 years later, when the Council of Chalcedon heard the letter of St. Leo, the bishops exclaimed, "This is the faith of the fathers. This is the faith of the apostles. Peter has spoken thus through Leo." But in the meantime, Eutyches did not take St. Peter Chrysologus' advice to heed the Pope's decision. He, with his powerful friends, he managed to win at a council that was called later the Robber Council in 449, because at this council, the heresy triumphed by violence and manipulation. In 450, Galla Placidia died, and St. Peter Chrysologus died about that same year. When he felt his end approaching, he returned to his native Imola. There he made a gift of some sacred vessels to the shrine of St. Cassian, the martyr who is patron of the city. And there he died. He was buried next to the martyr's shrine. We have nearly 200 of his sermons, and the doctrine that they contain is what merited for him the name Chrysologus, Golden Word. These sermons also merited for him the title Doctor of the Church, which Benedict XIII gave him in 1729. Praised be Jesus and Mary.